Have you ever really stopped to think about the sheer power just locked away in a simple conversation? Not just, casual chat, but a structured back and forth designed to figure out what really happened.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it, how someone's own words, especially when they're captured in specific legal settings, can turn into the most critical piece of evidence, especially in complex stuff like, say, workers' comp fraud investigations.
Exactly. And that's precisely what our sources for this deep dive focus on, the strategic use of things like the recorded statement and the formal deposition. Our mission today is really to unpack how these conversations work, how they're used to gather information, establish facts, and crucially, how they can potentially expose deception by highlighting, well, inconsistencies.
Think of it as your shortcut to understanding a really vital part of many investigations, hearing the story straight from the source, but under very specific rules.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning then, the recorded statement.
This is often that first crucial encounter an investigator might have with a claimant. It's generally less formal than a deposition, usually done over the phone.
Makes sense. And its main goals seem pretty clear from the sources.
Primarily, it's about fact-finding, getting an initial read on credibility, and maybe most importantly, establishing that initial baseline.
That baseline. Explain that a bit more.
Well, it captures the claimant's story right then and there. Their reported symptoms, what they say they can and can't do, their daily activities at that moment. Getting that down is fundamental.
Because everything else gets compared back to it later.
Precisely. It's the measuring stick. And in California, there are some really strict legal hoops you have to jump through.
Like what?
Well, a big one is the two-party consent rule. That's Penal Code Section 632. You have to get verbal consent to record right at the start.
And that consent has to be recorded too.
Yes, exactly. That explicit, yes, you can record me, needs to be on the recording itself. Otherwise, the whole statement could be inadmissible, thrown out.
Wow. So missing that one step basically tanks the whole thing legally.
It can, yeah. And there's also something called the Miranda type advisement under Insurance Code 1871.8.
Okay.
If fraud is even suspected, you need to warn the claimant that making false statements to get benefits, that's a felony.
So it informs them, but also lays legal groundwork if things go south later.
Correct. Now, in terms of actually doing the statement, best practice is usually starting broad. Open-ended questions first.
Let them tell their story in their own words initially.
Before you start drilling down. And focusing on ADL's activities of daily living and their prior medical history is key.
Getting really specific about what they do day to day.
Exactly. What exactly can you do? What can't you do? What was your health like before this incident? It builds a much clearer, more detailed picture.
Like that softball player case study mentioned. He sets his baseline in that first statement, maybe denies playing sports.
And then later, if surveillance video shows him pitching in a league, well, that initial recorded statement is the perfect contrast. His own words versus the hard evidence.
Got it. So the recorded statement is step one, the baseline. But the deposition, that sounds like where the real legal weight comes in.
Oh, absolutely. It's a much more formal setting. You're under oath. Attorneys are usually present. There's a court reporter typing down every single word, verbatim.
And that transcript has more legal punch.
Significantly more. Its purposes are formal discovery, locking down testimony under oath, and strategically creating impeachment material.
Impeachment material meaning.
Meaning their own sworn words that can be used later to challenge their credibility if their story changes or contradicts other evidence. That's why strategic questioning in a deposition is so powerful. They are under oath.
Okay, so you've got the initial, maybe less guarded story from the recorded statement, and then the lockdown sworn testimony from the deposition. The real power comes from connecting these dots, right?
Yes, exactly. The core strategy is all about finding and then using inconsistencies. That's what the source is called, the fabric of fraud.
Discrepancies reveal the deception.
Pretty much. You find them by comparing what they said in either the statement or the deposition to objective evidence.
Like surveillance video.
Or social media posts, medical records, maybe what other witnesses say.
Think about that Maria the jewelry maker example. She claims in her deposition she's basically housebound, severe limitations.
But then investigators uncover her Instagram showing her selling jewelry at busy outdoor markets.
Or there's video of her lifting boxes, setting up a stall.
Exactly. Her sworn testimony is in direct conflict with what's observably, undeniably true based on other evidence.
And just noticing it isn't enough. You have to document it precisely.
Absolutely critical. Referencing the exact page, the exact line number in the deposition transcript where she said she couldn't do X, Y, or Z. That's what gives it legal impact.
Because documented inconsistencies just...
Yeah.
They shred credibility, don't they?
They absolutely undermine it. It massively strengthens the defense's case, potentially leading to claim denial, maybe a better settlement position, or even paving the way for actual fraud prosecution. It's their own words creating the conflict.
Of course, it's important to note, the sources stress this has to be done ethically, legally.
Oh, for sure. Questioning needs to be relevant to the claim. You have to respect privacy boundaries, follow all the rules about consent, accuracy. Admissibility depends on doing it right.
But when done correctly, these tools transform a claimant's own words into incredibly powerful evidence.
Their statements become a kind of map to their story.
Or sometimes, yeah, the actual key that unlocks the truth by showing exactly where that story breaks down against reality.
Which really leaves us with something interesting for you, the listener, to think about. How much of what we consider truth in any situation, way beyond insurance claims, just in daily life, reading the news, understanding people, how much of it relies not just on what's said, but on how consistent it is with everything else we can see and verify? What does that really mean for how we evaluate all the information that comes our way?